Christ,
Bob, you've done to them. Dust, I've spit those dead down the drain.
Dead down the
Macadenu from Dead Down the Drain.
Macadenu, Macadenu,
Macadenu, Denu, Denu. How's it going?
What was that? What was that off again?
I tell you what, I'm not going to say. Just type it into Google. Right, well, audience.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
That's all I'm going to say on the matter.
Yeah, that sticks in your mind a bit, doesn't it? Macadenu,
Macadenu, Macadenu, Denu, Denu.
Yeah, that was a good. That's a good intro. That's a good song. Mm. It sticks in your mind. We're happy to be here at Dead Down the Drain once again.
Yeah, yeah, we're dead, and you know, I'm feeling fairly drained tonight.
I'm feeling tired, man. I'm feeling tired.
Yeah,
I'm worn out. I don't know what it is. I'm mentally drained. I'm just physically broken.
Yeah,
it's
you've been in the wars here, like
I have. Yeah, I've an accident where I burnt myself, bit of boiling water, just melted
you,
all my skin.
Didn't you try and cook yourself? You were saying to me you're making a Sunday dinner, and then from what I hear, you like spilled goose fat all over yourself. And I thought,
I'm just a tasty morsel. I thought this might be nice, but when I looked at the injuries that were there, it just like melted my skin off my leg, and I was like, oh god, here, this is no good. But apart from that, I'm fit as a fiddle. I'm broken but fit, if that makes any sense.
Well, I just remember last episode we were talking about what should we do with our bodies after we die, and you actually said you wanted to be like cooked and eaten by the poor.
Fed the poor.
Yeah. It's not an experiment.
Maybe subconsciously I thought myself, you know, why do I have to feed my family? I'd rather just feed the homeless with melting food all over us. But no, apart from that, how are you, good John? How are you feeling apart from that?
God. Yeah, like I'm saying, I'm fairly drained. I mean, what? It's like 10 to 4 in the morning here. I came around at 6 o'clock and we're trying to think of things to talk about, and it's, you've worn us out. I mean, I'm fairly hesitant about this whole thing, because just before we were about to record, you were like, shall I just stick the telly on in the background? And I thought...
It was for mind stimulation.
Yeah.
I'm just used to having
exactly.
A TV. Have you got no stimulation tonight, John, for anything?
Well, obviously you haven't if you need the frigging TV on. You're about to record your radio show, your flagship artistic endeavour. Like,
yeah.
And you're just like, oh, it's just have a bit of...
Just fucking put the TV on instead.
Have a bit of Mel Gibson on in the back, just in the background, you know what I mean?
He's a good-looking guy, isn't he? Why not?
Yeah, him and Danny Glover, I mean, that's pretty important combination there, isn't it?
They were very good in the 80s. Very good, very good. Was it a comedy? Collaboration?
Collaboration.
A collaboration. Of weapons that are lethal.
Yeah, I mean, that's a classic.
Well,
I'll tell you one that's a bit underrated. Tango what? And Cash. You ever seen Tango and Cash before?
Yeah, I can't remember much about it, though.
That's a good one.
You know, 80s films, obviously, are the best, you know, and the main guy in the 80s was probably Sylvester Stallone. Who else was in... Which one was he? Was he Cash or Tango? Obviously, you wasn't saying either.
You know, I'm trying to, like, sing for its merits, but I don't know.
You know.
Just watch it, you know? Just watch it.
I know your favourite...
What?
80s film. It's with Sylvester Stallone. It's got to be Cobra. It's got to be Cobra, man. Can you give us any lines from the Cobra film?
You know, for anyone who hasn't seen Cobra, you know...
Give us a synopsis of the film.
Right, it's a classic film for one reason. I tell you, one thing you don't get in films these days the one-liners. They're too scared to shove a one-liner into the script.
Yeah, like the classic ones from like Arnie films.
Yeah, you know, like a little sort of like where they break the fourth wall down, a cheeky little wink to the viewer,
and then
a little bit of a sly one-liner in there just to keep things light, you know?
So I can't recall Cobra, but has he got a few in there, has he?
Right at the beginning of Cobra, the first thing you see is a disruption at a shopping centre, right? The film starts and there's this dude, he's got like a scrawny little, scruffy little moustache. He looks a bit like unkempt and he's wearing like an overcoat in blazing hot sun, you know, so you're thinking, what's this guy's problem? Like, you know, it's a hot day. Like, why is he need an overcoat?
Does he look like a classic 80s villain?
Yeah, like a henchman type of thing. So he walks into the shopping centre and like the overcoat comes flying off, and of course he's got like a pump action shotgun under there.
Standard.
And he just starts like shooting all the displays of fruit and stuff and cornflakes, and they're just spraying all over the screen in slow motion.
You know, the vegan.
Yeah, doesn't eat breakfast. And then he takes a couple of hostages and stuff. So, you know, he's got like the till.
Is he robbed the till? Has he got the money?
He hasn't actually. He's just, you know, it's a bit of a deep issue to get into. There's a kind of like parallel society going on, an underground sort of conglomerate of maniacs who are looking to overthrow the status quo, right?
Right.
So anyway, he's just in this, for some reason he's decided to just go to a supermarket on his own and like cause havoc.
But, shoot fruit.
So he takes the Chet Out girl hostage and whatever, you know, the guy who like drives the forklift and stuff. And anyway, Cobra turns up, right? And
is he a vigilante?
No, he's a policeman.
He's a policeman.
He's in the zombie squad, which is a special subdivision. Like, so the SWAT team turn up, right?
Uh-huh.
So you've got You've got this whole army of people outside this supermarket, you know, with like armed to the teeth with automatic weapons and stuff, you know, like they're fully trained. They're all like barricaded in formation and stuff, right? And the chief turns around and goes, like, I mean, that's not good enough, right? They've got one guy with a gun.
So the whole SWAT team there, you know, the military's probably there. Everybody is ready for action. And
there's one guy. You've got to put it into context. There's one guy holding two people hostage. And the SWAT team's there. Yeah. And the chief turns around and he's bottling it. And he just turns around and goes, send in the Cobra. Right? So Stallone turns up and
He's like 5 foot four. He's like a midget.
He's got like tight blue jeans on with a huge belt buckle. I think he turns up on a bike or something. He's got a gun. He's got like this pistol, and he's like got mirror aviator shades on, and he's got like a toothpick in his mouth that he's chewing, and he's got like leather gloves on as well because you know like
of course that's what you need in a hostage situation, a toothpick.
So anyway,
toothpick and some gloves.
I am getting round to the one-liners in the film.
So he turns up.
And he turns up, right? He goes into the supermarket and he's sneaking around in there and he's going to take this guy out, right? And ultimately they come to a confrontation and the guy just like reveals that he's like strapped with loads of
bombs,
explosives.
Right.
And Stallone's a bit like sort of, give it up! And he goes, the henchman turns around and he goes, do it! I'll blow this place apart! And Stallone turns around and goes, I don't shop here!
Yeah, the classic one-liner from Stallone, I don't shop here.
Yeah, so that's one of them.
Yeah, you don't hear that caliber of, you know, script writing.
I totally screwed that up. And then there's another bit where halfway through the film, his love interest in the film is Bridget Nielsen. And you see, one thing that's going on in the film that they don't mention much is like Cobra's got a his real name's not Cobra,
right?
He's really called Marion Cabretti.
Marion.
Yeah, Marion. Right. So he's got a partner, and his partner gets split up, and he's with Brigitte for a little portion of the film.
And she's a big one.
His partner turns around to Bridget Nielsen and says, "Oh, do you know what Cobra likes?" And she goes, "What?" And he says, "Cobra likes it if you call him this." And he whispers in her ear. And so Sylvester then walks up to Bridget, and she goes, "Oh, hi, Marion." And they have a little bit of a laugh. They go,
"He really doesn't like that, does he?"
He goes, "Oh God, you should have heard us. What should have heard what my dad wanted to call us." He says, "Oh, what?" He goes, "Alice."
Oh dear, dear.
Yeah.
Dear.
So you know, it's full of moments like that. Do you know what I mean?
Arnie's are much better.
it's full of magic, yeah. You know.
It is pure. It's pure something.
Christ, DVD sales, you know.
You should be a spokesman for. Yeah.
Sponsored by. Warner Brothers?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, that was a nice little chat about Marion Cobaretti.
Was it?
Well, I still think Arnie's films are probably better in the one-liners.
Yeah.
You know, like when he's in, what's his, Commando, and he's got somebody... No, it wasn't that. I'm thinking of Running Man, when he's got the guy and he saws him in half with a chainsaw, and he goes, "What happened to Buzzsaw?" And he goes, "He had to split." Yeah. You know, that's a much better caliber of one-liner than that.
Listen, I'm not arguing about the. I like Cobra, right? You know, that's just a quirk I've got. You know, some people like,
well, like,
you
on
know,
the opposite sides,
Marmite and stuff. You know, it's just Stallone, one of those.
You're a Stallone fan, and I'm a Schwarzenegger fan. We should just leave it there.
It's like a Marmite thing, but all I'm saying is that modern films are too scared to introduce the one-liner. That's the way I feel, like, you know.
You're probably right. I've never heard one in a decent film.
See,
anyway.
Like my generation could take that. You know what I mean? The difference between like reality and like a film. Well, I think maybe people go to the pictures now, and like,
you think they really want real life. They want to say like reality.
Yeah.
To make it really, you know, but in the 80s, everything was just pure fantasy. That's what they thought, like, the hard man would be. Some, like, 5'4", you know, mid guy in his mid-50s with a toothpick and a pair of gloves could sort the problem out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get the Cobra. Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's a strange one.
It is a strange one. We've got the pineapple. The truth is with us as well tonight.
Yeah.
And,
it is. It is. Yeah, we've got exciting, you know, things like that coming up. You know, just a typical smorgasbord of delight that is dead down the drain. You know, we've got it's like a buffet of banality. Would you say?
Oh, I'm agreeing with you. I totally agree with you. Some might say it's nonsense, but I think it's real. These questions need to be answered. Shall we delve into it?
It's a bit premature. I mean, this is the preamble. We've only been talking for a few moments, you know. I want to know what's making you tick this week, you know. Why are you smothering yourself in goose fat? Why are you so clinically depressed?
It's been because...
Why are you maiming yourself in the kitchen, you know?
It's the form of self-destruction, isn't it, really? You know, like subconsciously, maybe I just didn't want to cook any food. Maybe I just don't want to be.
Is it like a dirty protest? But like, is that a chef's version of a dirty protest? Where
just instead of smothering myself with like baby oil, I've actually put like hot burning...
Goose fat all over yourself.
Yeah, well, I had a lovely trip to the hospital, you know, 3 times this week. That was nice. It was a bit painful, but at the end of the day... I got looked after, and I'm on the mend, and I can get back to work straight away next week.
All right.
And am I looking forward to it? No.
So what exactly is the guru in a van up to these days?
Well, I'm driving vans now. That's it. I've managed to get it. Not van, trucks. Driving trucks. That's a proper manly job, that.
Trucking.
Trucking. I'm trucking all over the country.
Yeah.
Every night last week. Or the week before, up to Glasgow and back, proper on night shift as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you hung out at any truck stops at all? Or?
Yeah, they're weird places, man.
Are they really?
They're really, you know,
that,
weird.
That's probably quite interesting for the audience, because it's somewhere you would never ever go unless you're a trucker, you know? You're not qualified to be there.
You see some weird things. So you've got to legally take like a 45-minute break, right, after like 4.5 hours. So you pull into a truck stop. And this is just, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm reading the paper, whatever, just thinking, oh, Jesus, get this break over with. I just want to, you know, get this finished and go home. And you do see, like, blokes, you know, they're sitting there. And then people do turn up to the trucks just randomly, you know, and you think, well, what are they up to?
What do you mean? Like, the general public are just wandering up there?
I don't know. Like, you know, cars do turn up and you know, the guys have got the curtains shut and everything, and I'm just thinking this is a bit weird, this one.
Do you think it's like Just Eat, or are you thinking something far more sinister?
I think it's something weird's going on, you know. And then you see the little, because you can see the light behind the curtain a little bit, and, you know, men and women turn up and go to these the cabs and stuff like that, and you just think, I wonder what is going on in there. It could be the guy's wife, you know. But
or another guy's wife.
Or another guy's wife. It's somebody's fucking wife, yeah.
So, yeah, what, you've been night shift?
Night shift, yeah, man, that was...
So you, like, you've just gone straight in the deep end of,
it
like...
It's dark business when you're in the truck stops, and it's definitely silent, man, and you just...
So, like,
it's all new to me. And
trucking's a bit of a solitary pursuit, you know? It's just you and the road, you know, like the blacktop, yeah, cruising down the motorway. So it's not like a normal working environment, you know? So do you ever encounter... Are these places a bit like the Star Wars canteen or something? Do you ever get into a conversation with another trucker? And, like, would you want to?
I'm not that confident. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
what do you say? You know?
Do they keep to themselves? Like,
They are pretty, like... There's nobody talks to each other. But this is only new to me. This is a new thing for me. So I was just being a bit of a voyeur, really watching what was going on. I didn't really want to venture out the cab to talk to anybody. But, yeah, it's a bit weird. It's a bit weird.
Yeah, like a sort of Forbidden Zone style vibe to it.
It's just, tons and tons of trucks just parked up, people coming in and out the cabs just...
So does a truck stop? Like, it's obviously, it's got somewhere to refuel, and it have a canteen?
It has a restaurant, has like shower facilities, all that stuff. It's got like
showers,
you know, a hotel.
Did you have a shower at a truck stop?
No, I actually broke down the first day I was at work, so I had to drive truck stop.
You actually broke down in tears.
It was just a single tear.
You're like, I really need a shower, but I just don't want to go in there.
Just the big men in there.
No,
don't like it.
I'm so clammy though. Oh my god, what am I gonna do?
I was lucky I had a lot of wet wipes.
Ever had a bed bath?
Oh dear, my
in a 16 wheeler. There you go. I've just written your first blues song there, Wilson.
Oh, cheers, mate.
Bed, bath and a 16-wheeler. If anybody wants to come back with the lyrics of that, then I'll get Wilson to sing them on the show. Just to reiterate, bed, bath and a 16-wheeler. That's got to be the title of the show this week. Like.
Yeah, bed, bath and a 16-wheeler.
I love it,
man.
So you've got a canteen there, and you've got loads of like really solitary blokes kind of avoiding each other.
It's like zombie-like. They're just walking around Nobody's talking, nobody wants to talk.
What if you make eye contact with another bloke?
Eye contact with truckers.
Have you got to go in the shower with them if you...
I hope not. I hope there's no like undercurrent of like... you know, different, ways to like secret handshakes or different looks. I don't want to get into any of that business, you know. I don't want to be dragged into the shower by...
You don't want to be given off the wrong signals, like, do you, you know?
No, I don't want anything to do with that.
So what's like, you know, when you go to a rest stop, you know, as a what's the right word? Just a traveller, you know, in your car. You're out with your family. You're travelling down to Flamingo Land or something. You pull over. What are they called again? I can't remember what they're called.
It's a service station. It's a different
service
vibe,
station.
Man.
You get McDonald's, you know, like Costa.
There's people talking, enjoying themselves. You know, they pay extra for sandwiches.
But like, what's for sale at a truck stop?
Like, I saw anything. When I saw people going into the cabs and that, I think you can buy anything you want.
Yeah, it sounds fairly sinister to me.
It looks sinister. If you, it could be a passenger in the truck, and we pulled into a truck stop overnight, you'll be struck, deaf and dumb by what goes on or what doesn't go on. You just don't know. I was just in there, out there, don't want to go back there.
I mean, probably for next week or something, like, there's probably a list of, like, serial killers who were also truck drivers that you could find.
Jeez, man, there is.
Have you seen one, have you?
Well, no, like, Sutcliffe.
Was Sutcliffe
a... He was a wagon driver.
Joking.
No, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. We won't go into that. But
not trying to like spoil your choices of career there, like. But
no, yeah, I'll just steer me cab from now on. Like, I don't want to venture into the big building where the proper men are. I just want to sit on my own.
So what you doing in your cab like late at night? Like, what do you do?
Just I read a book. I just want my break to be over. I just want to drive home. That's it. Done.
Yeah.
Get to my own bed. Happy days.
You don't light her in there, like.
I don't light it anywhere. I don't want to light it anywhere. I don't want to be seen loitering, you know, hanging around trucks late at night. I just sit in there and I'm happy to take me break and then hit the road again.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's kind of like a bit of a complete change from suddenly like from like leading a hippie commune in the lakes to just being on the road and knocking around like really weird limbo truck stations like something
off
Mad Max.
New stuff. That's the basis of life, isn't it? You know, life and experience, just, you know, do different things. You know, as in me former life in the commune.
Yeah.
You know, teaching different things. Mainly like a yin and yang. So one day you might be teaching, you know, meditation, deep meditation, and then the next day, that's like the yin and then the yang.
Well, what about, you know, like if you say like a car pulling up to like a truck, as you have been, you know, they're obviously like welcome visitors in other guys' cabs when they pull up at night. Do you not fancy like just walking up to another guy's cab and like knocking on his door and saying, "I'd like you to introduce you to a little bit of yin and yang"?
No.
No. No,
I don't want to talk to anybody.
No.
How do you want to do that? Not gonna. There's some big guy with a massive beard just sitting there. You know, he's obviously lying, and there's like a bed behind the, you know, the couple of seats, and he's lying there. He's had a hard day, and I don't want to be knocking on the door going, "Hello,
yeah,
could I introduce you to a bit of yin and yang?"
Yeah.
Well, don't know what that means in trucker talk, though.
Yeah.
It could be, that's like maybe pleasure and pain to him.
Yeah.
You might just drag us in.
That's quite a philosophical slant you've put on that. You're right. You're quite right. I can tell you're a guru in a van, like, so, you know.
I just keep myself right. Keep me, keep me trousers on.
That'd probably be calling you a guru in exile at the moment. And, you know, it just doesn't sound like you want to be part of a community anymore. You know, you just kind of, yeah, you've hit the road and you're in limbo.
Just,
like.
I think it's solitude. I think it's deep meditation is needed. I've learnt this craft and I need to do it on my own. Happy days.
Well, if you say so, I mean, you know, it's not for everyone, like, but...
Would you do this?
What, I'd probably...
You're a bit of a, you know, you like your time to yourself.
Yeah, but...
You don't like to socialise with other humans. It's a perfect job for you, really.
It's, well, I mean, I am thinking about it now you mentioned it. I am just playing it over in my mind. I mean, I don't like driving particularly.
Well, that'll do it then.
And I don't like strange...
I think that craze out the window straight away.
I'm used to a kind of like minimal threat level when I like go in the shower, you know. I'm used to that just being quite.
Do you have a threat level when you go in the shower?
Yeah, it's minimal. You know, it's pretty low.
What threats do you have in the shower, like?
Well, none, because I'm not trucking, but not like you, you know.
It's all right. Wet wipes. That's it.
Wet wipes in a 16-wheeler.
That's how to keep yourself fresh and crisp.
How do you that's amazing. I mean, it's like one hand on the wheel at all times.
It's easier if you're naked.
You're not supposed to take your well, you just set off naked.
You just
like.
Set off naked. So it's easier to just, you're driving along and if you feel a bit dirty, just get the wet wipe out. Wipe yourself down.
I'm glad you cleared that up, because I was going to say it's dangerous to take like a hand off the wheel, isn't it? You know, you've got to be like in control of that vessel at all times.
Of course, yeah, but if things happen.
What?
You know, things might happen.
Well, what things?
Well, anything. You could get dirty.
Oh, right.
Hot.
Yeah.
Sweaty, smelly.
You're
on the
no
road
clothes.
For a long time.
No clothes.
Yeah, just be au naturel, you know.
You know, a couple of minutes ago you were talking about how this kind of like cult mentality, you know, was no longer a part of your life. And then in the next breath you're telling us about like how it's like a good thing to be like naked just in case.
If you can't, you know? If you can't handle the truth, don't ask the questions.
Well, there you go, listeners. You know, you've heard it. You've got a naked trucker. He's armed with the teeth, wet wipes. You know, you wouldn't want to bump into him in the shower in a truck stop. But
you're not getting the premise. I don't need to go to the showers. I'm on top of it with me wipes. I'm smelling baby fresh.
I think this guy's a bit sensitive about this. This truck stop shower malarkey. He's like, he bit there. You could say like real venom in his. Like, he's like, I've just told you, man. I use wet. Okay, we'll move on. Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to get a bit. I am looking for a career change now, like, because I'm just, you know, like for the listener, I just work in an office. You know, I've got an office job. You know, if you ever watch that famous series of Ricky Gervais in and the opening credits and you see that concrete building and a roundabout, you know, and it's...
Is the showers in the office
block? It's like a pebble dash building and then the next shot's maybe like a photocopy just spitting out like paper, you know, and just like everyone's just sitting around in like this sort of numb state. I mean, that is like a working reality for a lot of people.
So what happens if you're in a situation and you need to be fresh and crisp?
Well,
is the showers in an office situation?
Well, it's funny you should mention that because that wouldn't actually be a bad idea because what I was going to talk about like this week is, the theme so far is work, you know, and we've heard your side of the story, you know, kind of like Mad Max chance encounters in a lay-by, you know, but when you're just like a regular Joe working at a desk, you know, life's pretty mundane and like you're saying, do I need a shower? Well, like in amongst that mundane routine, you'd be surprised how much like deviance goes on, like
what?
Unseen weirdness, you know, like you look around and, you know. Like,
and what?
And everyone,
what do you see?
Well, you know, you've got a lot of just like regular Joes working there, quiet, just concentrating on the computer screen, you know, but underneath, it's just like a really strange undercurrent of like deviant...
Debauchery. You think there's debauchery going on?
Just like... Well, the main thing is like when you work in an office, you get trained quite a lot, right? You go through these like torturous training situations.
Meetings.
Where...
You all sit around in a circle and... Is that how it works?
No, we're not in a religious cult.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring you out of your bring you out of your paradigm into the
right. Okay, I'm listening.
Into
I'm
the
listening,
office
yeah.
Situation. So you know, a guy comes in and they're like, "Oh, you're gonna have this type of training today, like customer service, or you know, like diversity, or health and safety." There's all these like typical things that you go through, you know, like
right. I'm with you so far.
Stereotypical type of training subjects that you cover. But like one type of training that they never seem to cover, which probably would be quite useful, is potty training, right?
What?
Potty training.
You do work with adults, don't you?
This isn't,
you just don't walk into like a creche.
Yeah.
You're not working.
Well, you answer me this question, right?
Right, go on.
So... There's like an office email inbox where like when there's a news, when there's important information or some news they want to spread,
right.
It all goes in this inbox and everyone can see it, right? So one of them was...
Do you know how to take a shit?
Please stop shitting on the walls in the toilet.
Never. That was like a... An email right. That went around to people.
Yeah, like, you know, please be careful when you're using the toilet because the cleaners aren't paid to, like, scrape your excrement off the walls, right? So you're looking around thinking, right, and you look around who's working.
There's somebody there.
Around you, and you know that someone there is basically just shitting on the walls, you know? And they're just like sitting, plodding away at the keyboard, you know, ringing people and just like backwards and forwards. When's it 5 o'clock? Printing letters off and just shuffling around, licking envelopes and stuff.
And you've got a dirty protester.
Right.
There's a dirty protester there. My God.
So, yeah. And, you know, it's male, female. Somebody was pissing in the bins in the toilet. Just standing at the bin where you throw your paper towels. And just filling it with piss. Just pissing into
I'm going to have to stop coming down to your place. Oh, my God. So, is this...
And that's not... What? Yeah.
I'm just thinking, so this is... This happens on a regular basis.
It's all the time.
It's all the time.
Yeah.
How many people in your office?
I don't know. I mean, it's everywhere, though. It's every office. I would say there must be a ratio. Like, there needs to be a certain amount of people there before the shit terrorist comes out of the cracks. But there's one in every office, guarantee it. The thing that capped it was the email that said, I'm paraphrasing here, but the general gist of it was, please stop putting your shit in the fridge.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
Someone was putting shit in the fridge with people's sandwiches.
That's just bizarre, man.
Yeah. I mean, what's going on there?
You know, everybody in the office is like middle-aged.
Yeah.
So you've got some fucking lunatic working there.
Yeah.
Who's taking a shit, putting it in a bag or something, and then putting it in the fridge.
This isn't over like a 6 month period though. This has been over like say a 10 year period. That this is a range of
so
stuff
you
that's
can
happened.
Work it out. You can work this out, can't you, really?
And I've moved around as well, so it's not just one person. This is something that happens in offices. People are doing like dirty protests in an office environment. There's something about a relaxing, like mundane, non-stressful. Like, completely in every other respect, you know, like comfortable working environment that makes people just want to like
go fucking crazy,
put shit next to the food. Yeah, I mean, what's all that about?
I really don't have an answer for that whatsoever. That's the most bizarre thing I think I've heard in a long while, man.
Yeah,
that's more bizarre. Me being naked and wiping myself down in a truck.
Yeah, maybe I should take wet wipes in. Do you think I should go to work naked with wet wipes? Just
I think you'd be the prime candidate if you went to work naked.
Sure, yeah. I'd probably be like...
Yeah, you'd be straight out the door.
A few boxes
there he is.
Yeah.
Oh my
I'd be
God.
Like, no, I'm clean, look. And just be like washing under my arms with me wet wipes.
I'm
just
not going
to prove
in there.
It.
So, yeah, that is fucking bizarre, that, though, isn't it? That
yeah,
really
but
is.
That is something that happens. I mean, I'd love to hear from the audience.
Yeah, if anybody
that,
else
know.
Is... Is there been...
Let's hear about the shit terrorists.
Wow.
Yeah.
We seem to talk about shit quite a lot, don't we, in different shows?
Well, you know.
It's a recurring
it's
thing.
It's a part, it's daily life, you know.
Can I ask you a question, though?
What?
Is it you?
No, it's not. It's not.
You know, it's been happening ever since I got there.
Yeah, everywhere I go.
Everywhere I go, and I've moved around a lot.
to evade detecting... No,
you're finally, like, you know, admitting to us, really.
Not really. No, I'm a germaphobe like Donald Trump, you know.
Right. So maybe wet wipes might be a good idea for you. Or some hand gel, you know. Do you actually go? Have you actually seen it on the walls? Have you actually seen this bin that's been filled up with piss?
I did see the bin. I don't know if I saw the wall incident, but to be honest with you, I've walked into a cubicle and...
Jesus, sounds like prison. That sounds like prison toilets.
Oh, they're disgusting. Yeah, it's bizarre. Sometimes you walk in and you think, like, did this guy have a shit standing up? Because how is the shit on the actual, like...
Like the toilet, like the...
Yeah.
The seat?
Not the seat.
The
cistern, yeah. Uh-huh. How do you shit on the cistern?
That's got to be some skill, that really, yeah. You know. You must have some pressure build-up that actually fire at that.
Yeah, well, you've got to be stood up for one, haven't you?
I don't know.
Maybe there's a really tall guy, and he's so tall that it's actually more comfortable for him just to actually sit on the system.
Just stand.
Yeah, well, not stand. He just reverses back. If you think the seat's down there, but the cistern's a good, like, foot higher than the
so
seat, isn't
he
it?
Just actually takes the lid off the cistern and shits into the cistern.
You know, I haven't checked. Oh, my God, that'd just be, like, another thing for them to...
Fucking hell, man. Well,
do you know, you seem to know a lot about this.
I have no idea.
You're quite tall.
I'm not that tall.
You're always carrying wet wipes around with you, I mean.
I don't shit in the cisterns.
You're fairly creepy.
I don't piss in bins. I do like anybody else, I piss in the sink.
Oh, hi there. I'm Fabrizio Monopeplicant. You might know me from a variety of films such as The Lost Boys. That's me blowing the saxophone on the beach over there. Great big oily guy, just covered in baby oil all day. Did you know that wasn't even in the script? I just turned up like that, wearing oil like a shirt. I bet you didn't know ideas like that come really easily when you listen to Dead Down the Drain. Dead Down the Drain, the thinking man's shirt. Does anybody have a paper towel?
Right then.
Are you ready?
Right, let's have a go. What have we got?
Do you want to... Me handwriting's so terrible, Wilson. Do you want to... I feel like I want you to read one out, but
right, okay.
You might totally butcher it. Just any of those at the top.
Right, what is the next step of human or man's or human's evolution?
What is the next step of man's evolution?
Yeah, as in...
Yeah.
Right, hold on. So, theory of evolution, Darwin's theory of evolution... You know, went from like...
Natural selection, isn't it?
Natural selection, going up the over thousands and thousands, millions of years.
Well, that's totally screwed up now, though, isn't it? Because it used to just be big, strong, aggressive sort of creatures would win that. You know, the weaklings and the shy creatures and the ones that just didn't, like, put themselves out there one way or the other would fail. But these days, you know, like, being big and strong... isn't really going to get you that far. You know, like, it'll get you so far if you want to, like, dig ditches or, like, work down, like, a mine shaft or something.
Right.
But if you want to be, like, a coder at Google and earn, like, $1 million a year, it's not really going to help you, is it?
What, lifting heavy things?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good question, that. Like, what is, where are we going to go next? If the puny people?
Right. I was on a different... Yeah, I can hear what you're saying. I was on a different thing about, like,
all right, okay,
the physicality of, like, you know, being on, you know, an animal on all fours and then slowly over time standing upright, you know, because we're an ape at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Are we going to go back, you know, the way people are now hunched over on their iPhones and tablets and stuff?
That is your computer program at Google, isn't it, you know?
Constantly with his head down, arched back.
Yeah,
you
like
know?
Prawn-shaped.
So... if I think it's going to be, we're going to be integrated with machines.
Yeah.
Over time.
Sex robots.
So we're back on that again.
Or toasters.
No, I think, like, over time, do you know when, you know, we, you know, to help us do stuff, we're using machines more and more and more.
Yeah.
And I think that over time, we will just be part man, part machine. That's my theory of it.
We're going to use.
That's how we're going to evolve. We're going to be meshed.
That isn't evolution, though, is it? Because evolution takes place over millions of years. But if we invent something over the next 30 years, just to bolt onto our bodies, you know, like some sort of like telescopic bra thing or something,
like a third arm.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like a crane grabber, you know, like down the amusement arcades where, like, you grab a soft toy out of a fish tank.
We're not even going to bother to, like, bend over, we'll just send
one of them
coming
out of my chest, eh? It just takes it to the mouth.
Right, yeah.
Actually, isn't that just what my hand's for?
Yeah, but if you don't need to use your hand,
yeah,
you know, then you would use your chest grabber.
My chest grabber.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. I mean, you know, we'll use machines then. To, like, I mean, we used to walk everywhere.
Yeah.
And then we invented the wheel.
I used to.
But yeah, so yeah, we used animals, the horses and all that to go, you know, and then we the wheel and bikes and cars and all that stuff. So we suddenly just didn't walk anywhere, and we walk for like recreation now, don't we? Keep fit and all that stuff. We don't really need to walk anywhere if we don't want to.
Yeah.
So over time, we might not even use our arms, you know. I mean, even in cars, they're going to have driverless cars.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be blooming speech recognition, isn't it? Really, just tell you're not going to have to use your hands to type in anything or anything like that. Everything will just be done by speech.
So no hands, no legs.
There'd be no muscle on anything.
Right.
So the chest grabber.
So you've got a chest and a head so far.
We'll just be like using mechanical limbs. Our limbs just won't be used for anything anymore.
Yeah, so...
Can you see that future?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think what would look like. Kind of like a kidney bean with a baked bean attached to the top as the face.
Have a massive head and loads of like robotic arms. And we'll just be like... telling it subliminally to like pick things up for us and do shit.
It's pretty scary. I mean, to evolve means, you know, that we're up against some kind of adversity that our bodies like need to physically adapt to in order to like span time, you know, like so time doesn't kill us and that our genes like sort of survive. But I think like some of the biggest obstacles that our face are just like trying to like avoid dying from eating too many like pizzas and pasties and stuff, and like trying not to drown from drinking so much beer. So some sort of like beer overflow valve in my neck might do it, you know, if we could evolve some sort of gill, like a gill on either side of your neck. So like when you're just swigging too much beer,
so
the beer just like runs like out of your neck, like an overflow valve.
Would you have one of those? What's that? That'd be just a waste.
Then you know I would evolve like a collection gutter just under
like
the
nipple. Like a drip tray.
Yeah. And then...
a human drip tray.
And then it would like all channel together like a downpipe on your drain, on your from your guttering, and then it would just like go into me belly button and go into me tummy.
Right. So you're going to have some like human...
guttering, yeah. Like an extraneous like guttering system on the outside.
Gills and guttering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Straight, you just...
Hang on, I wouldn't have any arms, though, to tip the beer into me face.
You can just do that with a drip now, couldn't you? Isn't that just the same thing?
Yeah.
Just the drip straight into your stomach.
Oh, God, you're a visionary, you know?
Yeah, maybe that's the way... So we won't even have to eat anymore. We won't even use all our teeth are just obsolete.
I know, but, like, I'm no biologist, right? But you know, if you evolve, you're evolving to adapt to the things that to make the processes that you're already going through easier. So like I think we'll become better eaters and better drinkers and like better, like you're saying, just better at like lying on the couch in one place for the next 50 years.
If you need a beer overflow valve, you've got some fucking problems. Like when you do, maybe you need to seek some sort of help. You know, if your family line is going to evolve with like...
I should just drink in the bath, shouldn't I? You know, and just keep the plug in.
Just bathe in beer.
Yeah.
Just do that. Well.
Maybe you've got to evolve like to have some kind of like bath enclosure around my body, like a bath bag. I could have like a big skin bath,
like one of those zooms,
like a foreskin, but it's just like it surrounds my entire body and fills with beer.
Right, you want to have a massive foreskin
around the outside, just, yeah,
like covers your whole entire body that just collects the beer.
Yeah.
It's come out of your overflow beer valve in your neck,
yeah,
your gills.
Yeah, so I'm just lying there, and I'm in just this like huge foreskin, skin, flesh, like collection facility, like a reservoir, but it's stretchy, you see. So,
right,
I don't take up too much room.
How would you get anything done?
Well, you don't have to do anything because you know
you've got the chest grabber.
Yeah, but just you know, you don't need to do anything. That's what I've decided. You know, you're just a pleasure lump, really. In a foreskinny basket, you know?
Listen, I can't argue with that logic like that, you know? Yeah. I think that's... Truth
accepted! We're doing for time. We've got time for one more. Let's have a little look. I'll read one of these. Baby's out. Okay. Pineapple of Truth. Righting the wrongs of the world. Do you think Elon Musk listens to this? Because
if he didn't, he should.
What is the opposite of the Mile High Club? So the Mile High Club is, you know, that urban legend where people are actually compelled to have, like, sex on an aeroplane, you know, on the way to, like, Torremolinos or something. You know, they stand in that queue while that huge obese person's just having, like, a massive shit in the only toilet on the whole plane.
I don't think this really happens.
You know, and you stand there with your missus and you go into that, like, stinky little cubicle.
This is just,
and,
it just doesn't happen.
Have sex with each other.
It's just a fact, it's just a legend, it's just a myth.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody who, everybody who listens and been on a plane, and, you know, there's no space for anything.
Yeah.
I can't even sit in a seat.
You don't even fit in the
room. I don't fit in the fucking seat, never mind, you know, getting jiggy with it. There's no space in the aisles. There's just crammed in to get as many people as possible. And you're right, you would go to the bathroom and on a plane and it's fucking tiny.
Well,
it's just, and everybody's, there's a massive queue and everybody's
pissing
shit. Yeah,
there's a queue like 5 or 6 deep. So the thought of like...
And like, what would you do? Like, you're with your missus or somebody else's missus and you're like, just come in with us.
Yeah.
There's like still people waiting.
Yeah.
And they can see two people going in.
The next
in.
Person's going to be like, are you? She's jumping the queue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is just a load of rubbish, really. But that's not the question, is it? That's not the question. What's the opposite?
What is the opposite of
the mythical
of
Mile High Club? So it'd be like...
Well, like having sex down like the bottom of like
a
mine shaft,
like in
or
a sewer or something.
Sewer, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, mine shaft, yeah. So you've got to dig down. It's pretty obvious.
No, sewer's a good one. So yeah, I mean... It's not
very glamorous, though, is it? People say, oh, I've had sex on a plane.
Well, now there's a toilet on a plane, really.
You're right.
You know?
You're right.
When you actually, like, think about the practicalities.
The opposite of that is actually...
I think it would be quite sexy. You could both have, like, a crowbar to, like... You could both playfully hold the crowbar to, like, prize
the manhole cover.
Yeah.
You know, you're in for a treat tonight, darling.
Yeah. Ooh, look at it. Just...
What a lovely aroma.
Yeah, the first waft, is it? Passion killer.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. So you think, I think it's got to be, I mean, the sewers, it's not very, they're not that deep down, are they, really? There's not a mile down.
Yeah.
Maybe the mine shaft.
Yeah, the Mile High Club. Yeah, you're right.
An old disused coal pit.
I mean, the Mile Low Club, surely you would just burn up from the earth's, like, magma after about 20 metres or so. You know, you can't go that deep, can you? How deep's a mine shaft?
It's about to go down a mile, didn't they? Yeah.
A mile?
Yeah, I would say so. They're pretty deep. You know?
I just said 20 like metres. Well, it shows you how much I know about
do you think there's
subterranean.
There's liquid magma, like, yeah, 20 metres down.
I do, yeah.
Wow.
That's why my dad never did any gardening.
That's why you didn't do any gardening. I might slip into the magma lake. So the opposite surely has to be a mile down,
yeah,
in some sort of disused pit. You know,
you see, I think, like, if you think of a typical miner, you're down there. You know, it's just blokes covered in filth.
Who says
in
it hasn't happened? Who says that this, you know what
blokes
I mean?
Covered in filth in a greasy, dark environment. I mean, we're just getting back to, like, the truck stop again, I think, here, like, you know?
Wet wipes. They must take a lot of wet wipes down with them.
Yeah. There's a truck stop, the Mile Low Club. You know, that's the opposite of the Mile High Club, isn't it? The Mile Low Club.
I think, I think it might have happened, you know.
In a mine
shaft. About them blokes? Was it a Mexican man? They were stuck down.
Yeah.
It was like 30 blokes. They were stuck down the pit. You know, I think, you know,
is that long enough to turn a man? Like,
must got awful lonely down there for some of them. You know what I mean? Well, the backs were turned and everything.
Are you telling me after 30 days you would turn? You're so virile that after 30 days you would
turn?
They
might not have known they were going to ever escape.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they'll be like, listen, lads.
We're just going to make the most of it.
We've got to make the most of this down here. We can't actually leave. We might die down here. We're not going to... There's no food. There's no water. Who's up for a shag?
I mean,
you don't know, this might these questions might have been thought of. There might have been one fellow who's like, listen, I'm going to come out, you know, it's looking as though I'm going to die down here.
Yeah.
So I've got to be truthful, and I'm gay.
Yeah.
You know, this might have happened down there.
Yeah.
And they might have joined this.
But like a chain reaction, they just thought, all right, well, okay.
Yeah, it's like male prisoners, they're not gay, but they end up...
Yeah, it's a phenomenon, isn't it?
Having a bit of...
You're absolutely right, yeah.
Bit of the old... What's that prison term? What is it? Tossing the salad, that's it. They might enjoy a bit of tossing the salad down there.
I'm really sorry about this, listeners.
You don't know, do you?
One week working on the wagons, and he's just like... He's a changed man. So, to be honest with you, I'm surprised there was anyone left after 30 days because, like, to be honest with you, if I get up in the morning and I don't eat by, like, say, 3 o'clock, like, I'm absolutely starving. So to be down at mineshaft for 30 days with all this, like, really juicy flesh around us, I mean, I'm surprised they just didn't start eating each other after about 20 minutes, to be honest. So there'd be no one left to shag after 30 days because there'd just be one really fat one, you know, like the last one who ate the last one before him. He'd just have to sit and have a wank.
So
he'd have to sit and have a wank amidst a pile of bones.
So if you were there,
yeah,
right? If you were there, this would be going through your mind, just going, what? Well, listen, we're not going to get out of this alive. That's you know, the strongest is going to survive then down there. That's
the hungriest survives.
The murderous, you know, intention of you down there, just murdering people and eating them. Other people would have saw you though. They would have watched you going, what's he up to? How's he? He's putting a bit of weight on, isn't he? And where's Barry gone?
Yeah.
We're missing Barry. You know, he's... Your big buzzer. We're missing Big Barry. And John's looking really healthy.
Yeah.
You know? He sits in that corner on his own. And, you know, he's having a wank as well. He's really happy.
Well, you know, so that's not... I guess that isn't the Mile Low Club then, is it? You know, being trapped down a mineshaft. I think just like the Mile High Club doesn't really exist. The Mile Low Club's maybe...
I think it might exist just for pilots and air stewardesses.
Yeah.
They must have a bit more space up front.
The cockpit. Maybe it's called the cockpit for a reason. Yeah. You know, when you put the, join the dots, like.
Yeah.
When you join the dots.
You never know what happens when they pull that curtain, don't they?
I mean, why do they need two good-looking guys to fly the plane? You don't get, like, two train drivers or two bus drivers, do you?
Well, I'm supposedly that
there's two like really
just in case
rich,
one guy comes down.
Two really rich, good-looking guys lock themselves in the cockpit at the front of the plane for hours.
We're in the cockpit.
Yeah,
coming to the cockpit.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
That's sinister, isn't it?
Yeah,
that is sinister.
Yeah,
they always sound very calm and confident over the tannoy, isn't it? This is your captain speaking.
This is your captain speaking. 10,000 feet, you might feel a bit of mild turbulence, but that's nothing to worry about. I'm going to make a soft landing any moment now.
Aye, yeah. I think we've come across something interesting there. Yeah. I think we've just stumbled across a real gem.
Yeah. So, like anything else worth doing, it's just.
When I go on a plane, now I'm going to be watching what's going on. You know, normally I'm just like shitting myself and sweating and stuff like that and just hoping I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's just, in the toilet.
That's
on your own.
Toilet,
yeah. But meanwhile, in the cockpit.
It's just party time, isn't it?
Yet again, you know, it's just another elitist pastime, you know, that will never ever get their experience as a commoner, you know.
So I think it's the mile low, the mile high. Nothing exists apart from, you know, the pleasures the rich and handsome pilots get to indulge in the cockpit.
Cockpit.
Yeah. Have we got time for one more? We'll say truth accepted on that one.
Truth accepted.
You know, I think we need to wrap this up.
OK. Okay.
Yeah, it's time to say bye bye. You
is
know.
It, have we been talking for an hour?
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
Jesus. Oh well, thank you. For
really
listening.
Sorry about that.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I hope you enjoyed it.
We shed a little light on what happens at a truck stop. You know. Again, if anybody wants to write the words to Wilson's first blues song, he'll sing them on the show. We'll record it. I'll tell you what, just write, a verse and a chorus or something?
I think
30 seconds long.
Yeah.
And we'll record it, you know. We'll put a little bit of blues back in.
What did you call it again?
I think it was Wet Wipes in the 16-wheeler, something like that. You'll have to go at the beginning of the show if you want to.
That sounds good, that.
Yeah. Are you willing to do that? Record an artist?
I'll record it and I'll sing it, yeah.
What a guy. All right. Well, thanks for listening. This is Dead Down the Drain.